you will, be taking your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I'm going to read a couple few verses there, and then we'll come to the New Testament. As we said this morning, that this is, of course, Stewardship Month. We're talking about faithful to God and His house. And I hope and pray that as we look at the theme this month, and we'll see some things about helping us in this life. I want to start and read the first verses here as we come over to Old Testament Samuel. And Saul, or Samuel, has anointed Saul as king of Israel. And by doing so, if you see in chapter 15, the first few verses, make a panorama before we get down to the verse we're going to read. He tells Saul that there's something he's going to have to do as leading Israel this time. If you look in verse 2, he said that, "This saith the Lord of hosts." Now, this is God himself speaking through Samuel. In our day, these verses seem to be that which the world would say. God's not that way. But I've got news for you. God hates sin. He's never stopped hating sin. He has never loved sin. And sin came because of Satan. And in this case, this happened. What he's remembering now, I want you to notice something. He says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt." Now, you can go back to Exodus chapter 17, read about that. That was 400 years before this. 400 plus years before this. And God said, "Now, Saul, Israel has been made a nation now. And you know the path that God brought Israel to where she's at. And she is desiring a king. And I'm going to give you a king. It's not one I'm going to sanction a king because it's one they want." David was the king of David from God's heart. "But I'm going to give you a king, but this is the first thing you're going to have to do. I want you to go in. I remember 400 years plus years ago when Amalek did what they did to Israel about trying to destroy and keep them in war with them. And he said, now I want you to go in there. And what I want you to do, go and smite," verse 3, "Amalek, utterly destroy all they have and spare them not, but slay both men, women, or both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Did you see what I read? Wow, preacher, you mean God said? Yes, sir, he said that. Did you know? You say, "Well, that's awful." Ladies and gentlemen, that shows you God knows the future. He knew after 400 years, these people are not going to change. And he knew that Israel would have to be delivered from them. By the way, those end up in hell, God knew they would never change. And he cast them in the pit of hell. Don't tell me that God's not going to punish because of sin. And by the way, he tells us even now there's things he'll do before he comes for the final punishment. And now so we come over to Saul going into that, and just paraphrase a little bit, went in there, but he didn't do all that God said he did. He said when Samuel came to him and called him on the carpet about it. But he said, "But we did everything, but, you know, we let some of them go. But the people saved us livestock and stuff because they wanted to give a sacrifice to you." Read the rest. I don't have time for all of that. Get into the message. And get down to verse 19. He said, "Wherefore then didst thou obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me." Boy, you hear a lot of people saying that today when God said, cries out in his word that something is wrong. They're still saying they obeyed the voice of the Lord. But he said, "I've obeyed the voice of the Lord." And go on, he says, "And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amaleks." Now, he didn't even kill the king at this time, which he told him to. He said, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and ox." Yes, Lord. This is what Saul's saying. The people took the spoil, the sheep and the ox, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgad. Now, Lord, you missed this thing because they really took this so they could sacrifice you. What more could we do to show our appreciation to you that we were able to conquer these things? But wait a minute. That's not what God said, is it? That's not what he said. You know, some people think they bargain with God after he makes a statement. There's people who think they bargain with God when they go to hell. No, when you end in hell, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. There's no hope after that. There's no hope after the last breath in this body either. So he goes on and he says this, "And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee, being king. And from there on, we see that happen. You know what this did? It's like here in verse 22, it's like saying, it is better to sin than and then ask forgiveness, or to obey God and not sin at all. In other words, it's like he's saying, well, God said do this, but they did it for this reason, so it's better for us to sin and ask God to forgive us than not to sin at all. No, it's not. It's better not to sin at all, but the only problem is when a body that does sin. And I'm glad I think I come to Calvary and see what Jesus Christ has done for me and for you in this life. And so then I move over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, and Paul said, faith cometh hearing by the word of God. And then I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 14, and we get right into the message. Luke chapter 14, I'm going to read verse 31 through 33. And here Jesus is speaking, and he's talking about a parable sitting down to look at things to go to war. And he says this, and he says, of what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether it be able with 10,000 to meet that him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desired condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsake not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And when you read that and all of a sudden see that last thing, forsaking all they had, you say, well, that does sound like a jealous God. Well, first of all, God is a jealous God, not in the way you and I think about it. What he's setting forth here, when it comes to time of being saved, you have to obey the gospel. But when it comes to time after you're saved, you have to obey the instruction of God's word from his word that he's inspired for us. And when he said that ye forsake not all that he hath, it means you must be willing to do what God says do, even if it is to forsake. And let me say this, you never forsake anything for God, he doesn't give it back to you. I mean, look at Job and you see that. So he said, forsake all. Okay, anybody who forsakes all for God, I guarantee you're going to get back more than they forsook in the long run. Up front, you may have to give up something, but later you find that God lives to bring about his wonderful truth. So I want to speak to you this morning. Faithfulness is simple to obey God. And faithfulness, ladies and gentlemen, obedience to God demands change. When you and I trust Christ as personal as Savior, there was a change in who we looked at and have in life. We knew we couldn't give it to ourselves. We couldn't merit ourselves. We knew no one else had it. That's the reason we trusted Christ. Through the gospel, God convinced us that Christ was the only way, and when we asked him to come into our heart, he came and saved our soul. Then after that, there is the life that God gives. That's the reason he read this morning about what Joshua said. You want to read the rest of that chapter. It's a blessed thing to see what Joshua said about God and Israel and what they should do, and that if they did not do what God would do, if they did not do what Joshua said he was going to do. And so here, I want to look at this. The topic is simply this: obedience to God demands change. You and I who got saved, if we're going to obey God, it means there's going to be some change. And by the way, we don't change the way we want to change. We have to change the way he sets the example for us to change and tells us to change. And that's what this book is about. And so my subject today on this day of faithfulness is simple obeying God, and obedience to God demands a change. Now, in Psalms 27, verse 1, David said this. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I love that. Early this morning, I was looking at this again and said, Lord, what a blessed thing. What a wonderful thing to know that we'd be in the house of God on the Lord's day. And what a wonderful thing to know when we meet here. We have a lot of opposition. And this morning, by the way, it's easy to understand that Satan's around. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, the more I study this book and more I understand who I am in this flesh is condemned. Did you know probably Satan has a lot of, we have a lot of problems with this flesh that's fallen more so than we do Satan. This flesh catered. I was thinking this morning, we who are been born into the family of God have two great powers towards us. It's God trying to change us in his direction to serve him, and it's Satan which uses the flesh to try to change it from his direction to keep serving him. He can't keep you out of heaven, but he can cause us to become short of things in this life. And by the way, whether you know it or not, when God, when he saves us, man in God's image is prime territory. And God is taking one that's been born again, and he's trying to change that person to move in a direction. And Satan on the other side knows also it's prime territory. And since he can't keep us from getting saved, he does everything he can to keep others from being saved because they look at us and we don't manifest Christ like we should. I'm telling you, you understand I said we. So what I'm saying, that obedience is important. Did you know most have, when you think about this light, God, well, let me get this first. God's light illuminated my sin through his law. It's the law that revealed to me that I've sinned. I can argue with God all day, but he shake that law in my face, and I guarantee you none of us can get to the place you keep it like he said we had to keep it. So God's light illuminated my sin through the law. But then God's illuminated my hope through Jesus Christ with the gospel. When I heard the gospel, the light of the gospel lit up in such a way on the outside, and I found something tugging in my heart. And now that law which had condemned me with sin, God brings the gospel to show my way out through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. When I trusted Christ, then I understand that God illuminates my hope through Jesus Christ, through the gospel. Then God's law destroys me, I see, rather than doing anything for me because I can't keep it. And then he can build me back through the gospel as a new person in Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why a lot of changes have to take place. And we begin to work on the flesh to change it from where it was at to something hopefully near like the new creation that we can. Because God sees our heart been clean and washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this world can't see our heart. They only see our actions, only see our flesh. And they determine who God is most of the time. The world does by what they see. And so if they really begin to see Christ, they're going to give us a lot of trouble in this life. So most Christians have wanted to do something with their life for the Lord. I believe when you got saved. You see, this world wants God to do something for them. But you and I ought to be willing, Lord, how can I know what I can do for you? I want you to use my life for your glory now, because I won't just be here just temporary anyhow. And I'm headed home, and I want you to use my life for your glory. And so when I see this, you find that, have you ever wanted to ask God to give you something to do for him? Have you ever wanted to obey him? I mean, this text really gives one something to think about. When you look at, he demands in order to be a disciple of his life, a life changer. That's what he said in Luke, when he's talking here, that life had, if we're saved, there is a change that has to take place. Sometimes you can't see much of change in some and others. If someone live a good religious life, they still need to be saved, but they may not see the change outwardly as you someone who was a harlot and who ended up in taking drugs and lived in the skid road and was alcoholic and just live a wicked life in some form or another. That may get saved, and then you might see a bigger change. But did you know there's been people like me been saved on a church pew? And people sat beside me and thought they were saved, and I even thought I was saved. The only thing I did was a couple of things. I could name a couple of things I did was wrong, but you know, there's a lot of other things I was doing wrong that didn't even faze me at all. If you'll be honest, you're the same way. I mean, I think about some things that I could justify doing because it helped others. And when I looked at it in the sense what I was taking in, it was not there. Just taking a cigarette, for instance. When we grew up on a farm, you thought that, hey, you were helping farmers have income. You would help in every way possible. You could justify and everything. I could say, man, you can be gluttonous and sin more than I can smoking a cigarette. Until God showed me that from that angle it wouldn't work, but from another angle, I couldn't lead someone to the Lord because of the handicap, and he gave me a victory over it. I didn't lay it down because of myself. I laid it down for others, even though now I'm glad I did because of who I am in the Lord. And I was a witness. You hear me tell the story? I went to a lady one night. Brother Max Stern and I was witness one time to a lady. And actually went to her mother and dad, and she was there. And she made the statement about she couldn't trust the Lord because she did this thing. And I said, well, you know, that's the reason I laid it down. And she was amazed. She said, you just laid it down for people like me? She said, I've never seen anybody do that before. God rewarded me for doing something because I just failed. You say, well, I knew it was wrong. Well, me maybe. Just give you a chance. So I was looking in those days what the Bible had to say. And in turn, if the Bible didn't spell it out, thou shalt not, a lot of folks just say it's all right to do. But you know there's a lot of things not all right to do because it may hinder you serving God. And it might hinder you from leading someone to the Lord. And so I understand when I see this about the change. We want to be obedient, but being obedient causes us to have to make changes, and we're hesitant sometimes to make changes. We all are hesitant until we have to. I'm hesitant. I'm having to make changes now, which I didn't have to make, because my mind wants to get ahead of my body. And sometimes my mind's way out there and saying, body, come on, and my body's back here and say, please, come back and go with me. Because as you get older, you can't do what you could do those things when you were younger years ago. And I go back and I look at Elisha in the Old Testament. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 through 20, one, you'll find Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha. Elijah went to find Elisha to take his place. And God called Elisha. And when he called Elisha, he found him and he was plowing with oxen and so forth. And when he felt the call, Elisha killed his oxen, burned his plows, made drastic changes in his life so he could be obedient enough to keep him from that. Now, you may not understand that. It doesn't matter. But you experience that sometimes if you really, God calls you to full-time service. There's time, and my wife would tell you, there's time we had to burn some bridges, because if not, we'd have been back over there. We'd have been back over there. When you go out to do something for God, even as a young Christian, sometimes you're going to find there's a lot of oppositions there. You don't have all the answers. You don't know much about the Bible, and you have to do a lot of study and reading the Bible to learn what God wants you to do and how to serve Him in this life. So how obedient do you and I want to be to God? Three quick points quickly. Number one, this: to obey God, one must make some changes. And one who had been saved had made some changes. When you think about this, sometimes in order to do what God wants one to do, there must be changes in one's job or maybe one's home or lifestyle or one's finances. Sometimes there will be less income than one wants up front just because they made the change. And that's where we have Scripture, Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God will supply those things that we have in need of. Sometimes in order to do what God wants us to do, there must be changes within one's family, with his friends or people who were once enemies now become friends, and friends who were your friends now seem to not be as close to you. In other words, even enemies become your friend. And we see that in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, when Jesus made this statement. In verse 27, he said, but I say unto you, in chapter 6, he said, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can't do that in the flesh by yourself. Because once it starts, it gets worser. But you can do that with what God says we have in Him. We may blow it the first time, but when God gets through with us next time, we'll learn a little more. And you'll find avenues, a way to be able to say, bless you, my brother. Bless you, my sister. Bless you. Bless you. I might feel fire indignation to start with, but even God will cool that down. You know why? Because God's word is true. See, you and I are not fighting the battle by ourselves. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. He goes on and said, but love your enemies and do good and lend and hope and for nothing again. And your reward shall be great and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father who is merciful. Isn't that amazing? He tells us some things is a great indictment to do, and yet you can't do it in the flesh without help from him. Outside help caters to the flesh. Inside is the Holy Spirit through His Word. And I can read the rest, judge not, and so forth. He said, and ye shall be not judged, condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, he's not talking about in the sense of judging for yourself. Man alive, if I hadn't made some judgment of myself, I'd be doing what others are doing that God says not to do. Hey, it's the fact is you judge, not so much as to judge the person, you judge that you don't do what the person's doing. If you know what the person's doing, God says not do. It's simple to me when you get down to it. Sometimes in order to do what God wants done, there must be a change in the way one thinks, in their prejudice or vocabulary or the language they use. Philippians 2, 5, Paul said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. That's the key. How's that mind going to be there, preacher? Through this book. You're not getting any other way. This book is the mind of God. And inside the New Testament, you see the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes in order to do what God wants one to do, there must be changes in commitments to one's family, one's church, one's job, one's plan for their future. Matthew 22, verse 37 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. We know that. Sometimes in order to do what God wants us to do, there must be changes in one's how they give, how they pray, how they serve. 1 Samuel 15, 22 says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And that's what I was reading to you a few minutes ago, that what he said about sacrifice. I didn't get quite there, but that's where that was at. He told us, obey is better than sacrifice. What is that? You mean here Saul says, they took all that God said not to take because they wanted to give it as an offering. But wait, God said not take it. And he says, you go look in that verse, to obey is better than sacrifice. I believe that. I believe God would rather us to obey him so we know what needs to be done and what needs to be sacrificed just to go out and start sacrificing everything before you know what it's for. And so he gives us that as we look at obedience to God demands change. And then I see also sometimes in order to do what God wants to do, there must be a change in one's belief about God. Hebrews 11:6, but keep going at this one. We must believe that he is, and he diligently blesses those who in turn seek him. Some examples in the Old Testament we have of people who had changes after they met the Lord. Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Amos, Jonah. In the New Testament, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. So the most difficult part of obeying God are the adjustments he requires. In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, as Isaiah saw the Lord highly lifted up, he made this statement when God said to him, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And it always amazes me God used the term pronoun us. But he's talking about God himself. Who shall go? Note, he said, whom shall I send and who shall go before us? I believe he's talking about the Trinity there. And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. He responded to the request that God had in making this statement. So to obey God, one must make some changes. To obey God also is costly up front. And this is sometimes people try to count the cost. We read, well, you need to count the cost. But you need to count the cost in light of what God said. Because God always, he teaches us that he will give back. You know, in Job, he gave back twice as much as he had to start with. He replenished what he lost and gave back to him more than that. So God can be costly. To obey God can be costly at times for you and me. You know why? Because God's ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts. He will not change. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9. God will not change. We must change. Did that hit you so hard? We must change. We must change. We turn a complete around face to go back towards him rather than the way we were going. And there is a change. There's a change in our heart. There's a change of who really God is. There's a change in what God wants. There's a change in our heart, the desire to want him. I guarantee you, I don't know where you are now on the scale, but when you got really saved, there was a desire right then to serve God. That's all you knew. That's all I knew. And I found how Satan finds ways to water that down and take me away from him, if I'm not careful, in life. And so to obey, it costs up front. Remember the rich young ruler who wanted to do what God wanted, but he refused to make the change? And Jesus told him to make the change? He said, well, first of all, you know, keep the commandments. Now, lay him to some of the commandments. And he said, those things I've already done. He said, but there's one thing you hadn't done. And then he said, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Now, he didn't say, go give your things to the poor. He said, go sell. And give your things to work. That you have the ability to be able to make what you know a business transaction here and give to the poor when that happens. Now, why would Jesus say that? Because that was the only thing that Christ saw in his heart keeping him out of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is worth much more than anything in this life, ladies and gentlemen. And if you believe Christ is your Savior, you believe you believe what he says about what life is here. And I guarantee you, if that guy had sold what he had, and in turn done what Jesus said do, later before he died, he'd had more than he'd ever had before. God don't take and ask to give without replenishing if you obey him in those things. And then I see that most of Jesus' followers left him. They found out that it would cost them to continue to be true followers of him and his real disciples in John chapter 6. Read it sometimes, verse 64 through 66. And most people refuse to make the changes or to accept the cost of following Jesus at times because it will cost someone. Sometimes it may not be financial, it may be, but it will cost someone a part of our life. You can't have a chamber in your heart where God cannot go to and cause us to do something or not do something, and we just don't listen. It has to be open to him all the time. Have you ever tried to tell your child of 13 to 20 years old something that you thought they need to know, and they thought you were just plain dumb. You ever done that? Of course, when they get to be 30 and have some children, they realize you're the wisest people in the world. But what happens, it happens. They think you're just dumb because you're trying to explain something. You experience everything, you're trying to explain it to them, and they just listen. You're too old for it. You're too old. You're back in the old age, the dark age and so forth. And you know some principles work in any age. They have to experience before they get there. Did you know that you say to yourself, they'll learn one of these days. Amen? They'll learn. In fact, I'm glad I lived to see some of mine say that they had learned some things I said they will learn. How about you? If not, wait on. Say, am I not old enough? Wait on. They will. Give them some kids and let them be 15, 16, 17-year-old. We are children. But when I say this, ladies and gentlemen, I say that because we are children just like they are before us. We are children before God. And there's some times that I know that God says he ain't got that yet, but he will. I see it. I'm going to have to do this. And he moves us, and we don't even know it as we walk by faith. Wonderful thing to walk by faith. I thank God Almighty to understand some things about life. And so I understand obeying God is costly to others at times. It's simple as can be. It amazes me when I begin to think, and you know what, ladies and gentlemen, thank God, my watch, no, it hadn't. I thought my watch had stopped. I was going to have it. I'd say, hey, you can't keep me going over today. Amen. But the obedience of Moses caused Israel a lot of suffering. Paul's obedience to God caused some of the friends to go to jail. What about you and your family? What has it cost them for you to be obedient to God? Some of you got saved if you came from a family that didn't believe in God, and they kind of wrote you off. Many of Jews, mother and dad, has written their children all who got saved. He said they were dead. Put them in obituary as dead because they were so much against the Lord Jesus Christ. So to obey God, changes must be made. Obeying God can be costly at different times in our life. And, of course, faithfulness is simple obeying God. And obedience to God's will demands change. And the third thing I want you to notice with me, as I thought, to obey God is to totally reply upon God for everything. And we live in America where that's sometimes hard to do. Because sometimes when you have to rely on God, you have to wait. If you're in a country where has not much, they don't have nothing to do but wait. But sometimes we have to wait. And God will not give something until it's time he sees it won't hurt us. God's not going to give us something to hurt us or make us make a decision against him. But he will bless in the era when we're there. And by the way, you'll be surprised when we stand before him one day how he's going to judge us. When doing what God wants, our ways and attitudes won't work. All must be the way of God. And there's questions that you ask. And I've thought this morning, can God be trusted to provide all that one will need to serve him? Can God be trusted to go his way? Can God be trusted to do whatever that God wants us to do? And I say, yes. I tell you, after 58 years, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Sometimes it looks like the bottom falls out. Sometimes you have to just get with God and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I can't handle too much problems here. And wait and patiently work towards a goal, and eventually it works. Sometimes people don't understand that when it comes out like it comes out, but it'll come out like God wants if you handle it right. And I'm saying to you right now, to obey is to rely upon God for everything. So when you do that, what about our finances? What about our welfare with our family? What about meeting daily needs? What about one's future? You say, well, preacher, I trust God for all of these things. God has never shown himself to be unreliable. God has never shown himself to be undependable. God has never shown himself to be uncaring or unresponsible. So sometimes when we look to do something, it seems like it's going to go, we hold back and not do that. There's been many people who hadn't gone to the mission field because it looked like a cost. There's been some who've gone to the mission field and it cost more than they thought they wanted to give. And they don't stay very long. There's been many Christians who put on the cloak of salvation and started serving God and then all today, not even church. So I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is not Mickey Mouse stuff like that. Salvation is a real, genuine life. And God gives it to us when we get saved. So Christians, do you really want to obey God? That's the question earlier this morning in my office at house. Do you really want to do what he wants you to do? And I think most will say yes. A truly born-again child of God mostly will say yes. Okay? Then the question comes, as I ask myself, what changes has God already asked you to make in your life? Has there been a change? Or is there a change you're waiting on? And that's all right. You need to wait on God. And He'll mount you up on wings of eagles sooner or later to do what He wants to do. Have you been obedient and made these changes? Are you going to do that? If we want to obey God, if we really want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, then we are going to allow God to make and help us make changes. I must never start out trying to make a change. First time that I witnessed my dad to get saved many years ago, he was not interested. And yet, when I came here and started the church, there was a time one night right before we moved over here, we were driving back and forth. He came to my house. And I will never forget, he wanted to be saved, he said. He didn't mean it. There's other things that were going on at that time. He didn't mean it. And I said, well, let me lead you to the Lord. He said, first of all, he started doing this. He started trying to take his watch off, rings on. What are you doing? He said, I got to get all this out of my life to get saved. You see, a lot of folks want to make changes. It's dumb because they think it's all right. Rather than getting saved and then let God help make the change. You see, it's a lifetime change after you get saved. Temporary, if you start making change, it's not going to work anyhow. And Satan will put a summon block in one's face, and they may never get saved if they try to do it their way. And so God has given us and not left us ignorant about these things in this life. So if we obey God, if we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to allow God to make some changes. It may come slowly, but there will be changes. And I find this out. There's always some changes down the road. He doesn't just make, he makes the capability to change everything. But you walk gradually with Him, and it changes with a lifestyle down through the one's history. Faithfulness to God and His house will demand change in one's life. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I read a wonderful true story in just the last few days as I've been working on this message for a while. And the story was this, and I close. There was a church in Benford, North Dakota. And while the pastor was preaching a message on one Sunday morning, an elder lady that was there fainted. I don't guess it was because of the message. She had a physical problem. And she fainted. And she struck her head on the end of a pew, knocked her complete out. And he stopped the service. There was an EMT person in his church, and he came over there and saw what happened. They called 911, and they called the rescue squad. And the rescue squad came, and she was still out. They got her and put her on the stretcher. They had to stop the service. Got her and put her on the stretcher, and she came too before she was going out. And she saw what was happening. She asked for a daughter to come over to her to talk to her. And she went over there, and she whispered something to her, and everybody said, she must be telling her daughter about something. I can't imagine what it'd be. And maybe she asked her what was wrong or what happened. What happened? Where are they taking me? All those things came to people's mind. But when they found out, when they called the daughter over there, she motioned to come to her, and she whispered to her daughter, and here's what she said. And I'm talking about people, listen, folks, this is a blessing. If you give, this is a blessing. She said to her daughter real quiet, like, honey, she said, my offering's in my purse. Please get it and give it to the church today. And they took her out. You think that didn't please God? I didn't have a chance to give it. But whatever's happened to me, I want God to have it. Lord, I don't know what you can use to me, but whatever it is, I want you to have it. Help me understand about it. Help me my ways when I'm tumbling, stumbling along. Let me look what your will is for the life. And God, help me not only that, but bring engulf the family into it. Engulf somehow, others that I come in contact into that. Because when God begins to speak to our hearts, ladies and gentlemen, then a change is in the making. He's not going to let us keep going like we're going. Save us and keep going like we're going. If you truly get saved, He's turning you around. You may be here and someone think you're going like you're going, but with time, around where that book's taught, around who people who believe that book and didn't fake that book, around who people who live for God, you will begin to change. It's easy to change when other people are changing with you. But if not, you go back to the same crowd, and you may be going like this if you're saved, or you may not even be saved, but if you're going like this, you should be going with the crowd towards heaven and not backtracking. I want to tell you this morning, obedience to God demands change. And that's what faithfulness is. Would you stand to your feet? Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for these times. I realize that most people in churches don't teach on things like this because there are people in the church not doing anything. Everybody on the platform is doing something. It's like going to a concert somewhere or another. You either like the group or you don't. If you like it, you keep coming back. As one person said, it don't cost me anything. On the other hand, Lord, if we don't like it, we don't come back. So what happens is this. God's house is a place to learn. Lord, we talk in February of stewardship for years now on things we don't even talk about sometimes during the year. We try our best to look to the subjects that would help us as Christians. Lord, we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And we are creatures of understanding words, vocabularies, understanding language. And when we have language about God and eternity and heaven and our new creation, Lord, I'm so grateful to understand this is not our home. And heaven's not heaven to me, it's my home. I thank you for that message we preached a number of years ago that we played last Thursday on the radio. I want to get a DVD of that because I believe with all my heart God anointed that day. This is not my home I'm passing through. And Lord, I've failed you so many ways. But you see my heart, I certainly have tried. You led me a pathway that most people don't go. I went in the organization I was in when I got saved. I didn't stay there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your wife who knows what it is to say yes and have to make changes. If you don't have a good mate, there's no way in the world that one can understand God's heart in the other unless they're walking with God. During this stewardship month, thank you for Brother Keith this morning, Sunday school lesson, Lord. Thank you for each one who teaches this month. Remind us as we've studied and sought your face about what it is for stewardship. God requires to be good stewards of the things of God. That means my life, my home, my church, my job, everywhere. And Father, we live in an evil world. And I'm fully convinced that Satan gets blamed for a lot of things that it just the flesh does. This flesh is evil. This flesh is still fallen. It's never going to go to heaven. And when I die, I'll discard it and go back to the dust that God made it. Help us understand that and understand the new creation in Christ Jesus has come in with a new heart, new spirit, new identity, new nature. And this precious book I hold in my hand is that which, Lord, you gave to us to feed that new nature, new mind, new creation. Until we get home, then you take that blessed new creation that you made in Christ Jesus. And we discard this body of flesh and you put it in a glorified body fashion like unto the body of our Savior. And one day we'll see things not through faith but by sight. God, please give us that insight by faith today to look beyond this life and know the reality that's there that the world doesn't see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.